Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We've all been stuck in a dinner routine rut. Bored with the same takeout options or eating a bowl of cereal for dinner. But picking tonight's meal doesn't have to be stressful. Here's an idea. Let Cook Unity handle dinner tonight with premium meals delivered right to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a growing community of award-winning chefs. Your meal options are endlessly delicious with a team of over 160 innovative chefs curating an ever-expanding menu of small batch meals. Cook Unity offers a variety of over 400 meals for every palate. Cook Unity has flexible programs that you can pause, skip, or cancel at any time. Find the perfect plan for your dietary needs and lifestyle. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/rut or enter code RUT before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's free premium meals for life at cookunity.com/rut.
This is the John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to Get Off My Crispy Chips, which is the podcast.
No,
of
Crispy Quiz, John.
Crispy Quiz, sorry. Get Off My Crispy,
Crispy
Quiz.
Yes.
The
Get Off My Chips!
Of the John Richardson Show. That,
that was a bit of a spoiler alert there, Will.
It is, but it will.
If that
doesn't keep you listening. Is that to do with the smugness? Does that clip come from the news that wasn't in the news?
Could be, or, I love you, but you eat all my chips.
Do I just get really angry in the studio when somebody tries to take one of my chips? Find out later on. Really good I love you, but today that led to the discussion of smooth bosoms. Did it?
Oh, you've set Charlie up again now. She can't cope.
I really upset Charlie this week with a number of things.
You have.
Not least my voice.
Mostly your voice, I'd say, in one way or another.
The most upset you've ever looked with me, I think. Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah, you just did loads of annoying things.
Ooh.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, what a shame we've already done this week's show appraisal.
What a shame.
I feel like that might have featured in a new segment where at the end of the show we review everybody's contribution. That's an exciting way. I think we might start with that next week. Right. Enjoy the podcast. See you in a bit. Hello, happy Saturday. You're listening to Absolute Radio. John Richardson here with my colleagues.
I got there before Will pressed the button.
Charlie and Will, just wait for the, pre-recorded one.
You left me to whoop on my own. They didn't even join in when I started.
And no interest either, was there?
No.
In the eyes.
No,
there wasn't
Will's
even
eating a
desire
cookie.
To Will.
Charlie's eating a pastry.
Yeah.
Not paying any attention, John.
Never mind us two, grafting away, talking
right?
rubbish.
Yeah, entertaining the nation.
Week.
We are here while you two are stuffing your faces.
That's exciting as well, because Charlie looks genuinely angry with this.
Really,
so I suspect
cross.
There'll be an off-air discussion coming.
I can hear the phrase "spiteful little goblin man."
I know, but what's your
head.
Version going to be? I think you've been more aggressive than me in this opening, Link.
Mate, I have been a bit, haven't I?
You've come with the energy of a woman who's been in bunkers all week.
That's what it is. I've had a week off. I went to Guernsey, John. And some very nice men, they gave me a guided tour around some bunkers and tunnels, and I was
Well, let's
was
hear
in
all about
element.
Them. I'd love to hear more details about the bunkers that you went into with two
you,
men
John.
You've never met before. No, I, I can't wait. You sent me a lovely picture from the bunker. I'll tell you what I've been up to, but let's deal with last week.
Okay.
Because obviously there was a show last week. You weren't here. Anyone who wasn't here, we'd like to start with a little recap of what you can expect this week by dint of what happened last week. And if you want to hear what Will thinks the highlight of last week's show was, it was this.
There's a can on the nightstand and some questions in the air. Ding dong.
Ding dong. It needed the ding dong.
I love Lindsay Santoro.
She's great. She was very good.
What a treasure. Do you know, it was Lindsay who, when I had my gallbladder out, she was one of the first people. She left me a voice note that just went, I had my gallbladder out and it was more painful, my gallstones, than when I gave birth.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing you want to hear, that.
It is.
When you're poorly. Yeah. I've had what you've had and it was terrible. Yeah. That's what you want, isn't it? Last week in The Literal Police, we had a look into one of Lindsay Santoro's historic offences where she claimed she screamed for 3.5 minutes, despite the fact, as we discussed on air, the world record is 65 seconds, which means she's trebled it. Ben has been in touch and he wants to contest that.
Last week I heard you say that the world record for one continuous shout or scream is 65 seconds. Well, this made me curious, so I asked my mum to try it while we were listening to the show. She did one continuous scream over 65 seconds, so I'm not having your fact. Thanks, Ben.
Did she breathe in between? Because if she did, then that's not continuous, surely, if you have to take a breath.
My main question is, where's the audio? I mean, what's the point of asking your mothers to scream on a Saturday morning if you're not going to record it?
Yeah, that's true.
You send the audio and I'll have a listen. I suspect the guys at Guinness World Records have some sort of decibel measure to what constitutes a scream. And I don't think Ben's mum's got there. I think she's cheated and she's gone... But I think it's got to have some guts behind it. But
I reckon I can do it, but Will won't let me try.
Can you do 65 seconds?
I could have a stab at it. I'd have a go, but Will's shaking it. He won't let me try in the studio, even though we're in a soundproof studio.
Unbelievable. She's only trying to break a world record. He was trying to keep her down, Will.
Young people today.
Much more on message. We're not a show that thrives in the world of achievement and world record breaking. What we like is misery and the failure of the human race. So I asked you for stories about any time you'd walked into a glass door, and Olivia sent this.
Hiya, John. Olivia here. I heard you mention last week any funny stories of people walking into glass doors. I don't have one exactly like that, but I do have one about getting stuck in a glass door. When I was a kid, we'd go to France every year on holiday, and my mum's a bit of a nosy beggar. She likes people watching, but who doesn't? I can't blame her. Anywho, there was this rather odd family in the supermarché, and while she was waiting for Dad to come out, she sat and watched said family. As her arguments and strange behaviours were just about getting good, she decided to get a better vantage point and lean closer. As she leaned forward, the automatic glass doors closed on her head and she was stuck fast. The French family retreated quickly. Her head was terribly swollen for the rest of the holiday. Thought you might enjoy this. Cheers, Olivia.
Oh, Olivia.
I did enjoy it.
What a great voice.
Broadcast potential there.
Really sing-songy sort of. I really enjoyed that, Olivia.
Again, where is the footage? I want to see it. You can't end with, and her head was swollen for the rest of the holiday. There's a picture somewhere, isn't there? I'm not saying the door incident.
Pixar, it didn't happen. Is that what the kids say? I'm looking at Will and Charlie. They look absolutely disgusted with me right now.
Yeah,
That's what the kids say. The kid?
Anyway, guys, if you've got pics of things that did happen or if you want to dispute anything we discussed today, the email is john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Oh. Now, you teased us earlier.
I did.
Since we saw you last, it's been your birthday,
yeah,
and you chose to spend it in an underground hole.
Yes. Where
better? It's the sort of thing people think I would do. If people imagine John Richardson's ideal birthday, they'd say, I imagine he climbs underground where there's no stimulus or light and just sits and have a good think about the crimes of the past.
Yeah, no, that's very much what I do. But I wasn't alone, John. You make it sound like I just sort of dug a hole and got in it. That's not what happened.
I think that's worse, to drag other people down with you. I'm very much a, you guys stay above ground, you enjoy the weather, and I'll be down there.
Well, to be fair, it's November. There wasn't much weather to enjoy. So
you're on Guernsey.
So I'm on Guernsey. I did a show on Guernsey on Thursday night. And then, because it was my birthday, we made a little weekend of it. So my husband came with me. Because, Guernsey in the Channel Islands, occupied during World War II. Guernsey is one of the most fortified islands in the world. So there is just
Stick that on the website.
Right. Oh, they do. Trust me.
I mean, I'll be honest. The only thing I like fortified is wine.
Right.
How many bunkers do you think you've been in? Because I think for me, it's... Maybe one.
Which bunker maybe have you one. Been in?
I can't remember, but I think at some point I probably have. But you I wouldn't. Are you talking more than 50?
Getting on for that, probably. If you're including all the little ROC posts I've been in, and if you count different bunkers and tunnels and things, probably getting on for that, I reckon. Yeah.
What does your husband like to do on his birthday?
More overground things, I would say. It might. Yeah. See, my husband's birthday's in July. So when your birthday's in July, you can have barbecues or go to the beach or do nice outdoorsy thing. When your birthday's in November...
And the beach, of course, is famously closed in November.
Yeah.
They shut the whole coast.
They do, John.
You're not allowed to eat food. All the cinemas are shut.
I would happily sit on a beach shivering with a thermos of tea on my birthday, but I'd be on my own doing that. So, and it's the history thing, John. I'm 20th century history is my thing, particularly Cold War. So nuclear bunkers are mostly my thing. But yeah. Guernsey full of World War II bunkers, and I like them.
I tell you what, you're going to be a good person to know when it happens, when the thing happens.
I know where they all are, mate. And don't you worry, I've got a bed booked in one, so don't you worry about that.
Have you genuinely it's arranged space?
My friend who has a bunker that I'm quite involved with, I said, if it all kicks off, can I come here? And he went, there's a bed for you, Matt and Tina, the dog.
Well, it's a wonderful thing to have done with your birthday. I've mainly been filming in North Yorkshire, Ooh. Above ground. I mean, to be honest, there's times in the wind and the cold this week that I would have quite welcomed being underground in a bunker.
See?
And then in the evenings, I seem to have somehow switched my algorithm from pratfalls to Spanish monkeys doing ASMR. I don't know how it's happened.
That is such a specific algorithm.
I'm sure I only clicked on one, but then I must have had another one.
That's how it gets you. My feed is now almost 100% videos of sweets being made.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, like where they pour the molten sugar. Oh, that's
oh
nice,
yeah.
That.
I'm really encouraging it, though, because I really like it. Little Spanish monkeys whispering about pizza. Patatas fritas.
Is that what they do? Little monkeys that whisper.
I'll show you one in a break.
Right, shortly.
It's absolutely AI.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's absolutely AI. However, if there was a monkey that could do it, I would travel to see that monkey.
Yeah.
And I would take it whatever it wanted. I had a moment this week.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little, what I call a micro meltdown. You know, when you just lose it for about 2 minutes.
Oh,
it won't surprise anyone to know, I'm not a guy who loses things, right? I just don't do it. And if
John,
I do...
you could never live with me.
Oh, it drives me. But I'm good at knowing stuff. I'm a good guy to have around. Like my daughter's always saying, oh, where's my so-and-so? And I say, it's on the drawer there, third one down, because I've seen it and it's gone in there. I think it's years of watching Finders Keepers. it's in Mum and Dad's bedroom, under the bed. Have you looked under the bed? But when I do, I go absolutely crazy. Mm. And I had a moment this week. I was making my daughter's packed lunch and I got the packed lunch ready, drove into school, got back, and I knew I'd used the little paring knife to make the packed lunch.
Right.
And I couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like, what have I... You don't wander around with a knife, do you? If it's your phone, you think, well, it could be by the bed, could be in the kitchen. I couldn't find this little paring knife. I got to the point...
did you pack a knife for your daughter's lunch?
Where I was convinced I'd put it in the lunchbox. To the point where I was like, right, I'm going to have to go into the school and just say, can I get the lunchbox and just have a look inside it? And not tell them why, obviously.
Yeah, given my daughter a knife at school. Yeah, no, you can't do that.
Anyway, I thought, well, I'll have a cup of tea before I go in. It was in the fridge. I just put it in the fridge.
John!
Just popped it in the fridge. The relief.
Johnny, you go through the menopause?
Because I think I might be.
I do things like that on a daily basis, but, you know, I've got a physiological reason for those things happening.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Well, what can I blame it on then? Is there a menopause?
Maybe
can
there
I say
is.
I'm having the menopause.
Menopause. There you go. Maybe
right,
it's
then.
That.
All
maybe
right.
your testosterone's dipping, mate. I mean, you didn't have much to start with, did you?
Yeah, I used it all up, actually, in my 20s. You can do that. You can do that. Just be careful, lads. Just eke it out.
Charlie and I can't concentrate on anything until we know what you put in a packed lunch.
Oh, well, it's very involved. It's sort of evolved over time now. But it's currently, she likes a chicken sausage pasta salad.
Ooh.
So it means I have to get up early because I don't like to cook the pasta too much in advance because it dries out in the fridge, even if you put a bit of oil on it or something. So it's a chicken sausage with some pasta and some salad in there. A little bit of salt, but not too much, of course. And then sometimes I get a bit flamboyant and I'll put a new thing in and she'll say, don't do that again. So we have the same old stuff.
I'm a little bit aghast that you cook a pasta salad for your... I mean, I was lucky if I got a jam sandwich when I was at school.
You just want them to eat.
The idea of my mum getting up early to cook me pasta before school. No shade on my mum, but she had a life, you know?
It means that... Well, she knows I don't. So if I were to say to her, I don't have time in the morning, she'd go, why?
Oh.
Anyway... it's that time of the week. No shout outs on this show, but nope. We will give one to someone who's put a bit of needle in there, a little bit of chili powder on the pasta.
Lovely.
This week it comes from Ryan.
Hi John, really appreciate you giving me this week's one and only dedication, and this week I'd like to give it to my girlfriend Sarah. Look, Sarah, you're amazing and I do love you very, very much, and you know that, but please stop eating crisps when we're in bed. The crunching and rustling of the bag drives me insane when I'm trying to relax or even sleep. Snacks are not meant to be eaten where you sleep. And don't even get me started on the crumbs. I know it might not bother you to roll around in cheese and onion flavoured shrapnel pieces every night, but it drives me insane. Just eat them downstairs like a normal person and let me sleep in peace. Thank you, Ryan.
Oh, I feel your team Ryan here, John.
Love how we're all team Ryan, aren't we?
I eat crisps in... Well, would I eat crisps in bed? I tell you who would eat crisps in bed. Lindsay Santoro. That's it.
Throwing shade. Don't mind it. She's only done one show. She's already lashing out.
I love Lindsay, but when she says she takes a fizzy pop to bed with her at night...
Oh, yeah. Can of pop.
Can of pop.
I knew we were in for a good one when he said, I do love you, and you know that. That was a really nice...
We've been over this. She does now.
I've put it in writing. It's in an email, so we don't need to say it anymore. No, I'm afraid you can't. Out of respect for the crisps, I think. I like to give them time and I like to sit in a good chair and give them the respect they deserve.
But what's better than sitting in a nice comfy bed and eating crisps?
May I say, I don't like to do this. I don't like to, say it's a gender divide. But if you have a hairy chest, crisps in bed is a very different prospect to a smooth bosom where you can brush the crumbs off easily. If I eat crisps in bed, that cheese and onion shrapnel is getting tangled.
Charlie's really upset about smooth bosom.
I know, it's because I said smooth bosom and she can't control herself. There's no maturity whatsoever. Anyway, Sarah, this is for you. Ryan loves you, but I'm afraid on behalf of Ryan and everyone at Absolute Radio, stop eating crisps in bed with your smooth... Anyway, just...
No, don't say it again, John.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
This is the John Richardson Show with John Richardson.
Welcome back. You're listening to Absolute Radio. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes, and it's that time of the week we puncture the smugness of the nation. We all know what's happening on other stations. Everyone's getting a shout out for having achieved something in their life. We don't do that. Absolutely. So if you have achieved something, I want you to know I'm not impressed.
Don't care.
That don't impress me much.
Oh, actually, Uh-oh. Naya. Lovely.
I rediscovered some filters this week on well-known communication app. And I tell you what, really good fun. If you like doing voices, I don't send them to anyone. I just film little videos of myself.
Just for yourself.
I did a very good baby one. I filmed myself in bed being a baby. And then I talked about, I like Swaddles for my breakfast. That was the voice I was doing.
John.
I want everybody at my favourite breakfast is Swaddles.
John, are you all right? are you getting out much? Are you
no, of course not. You've been
worried
out.
About you, mate.
I'm not taking grief from someone who spent her birthday in a World War II bunker. No way.
At least I was learning about history. I wasn't in bed by myself going, do you like shreddies? I was out there living my life, John. I'm worried about you, that's all. It's from a place of love and care.
Porridge is too slow, man. Right, so what are you smug about this week, Angela? Well, I feel I've sort of done your work for you, really.
You have, really. And do you know what? I know that you've got a difficult smugness to take down, apparently, today. So
yeah, big
I
un,
thought
big
I'd un. Give you an open goal. Because you're going to find this so easy, John. So easy. Mm-hmm. Because my birthday present from my husband, I'm smug about because I absolutely nailed it, right? It's brilliant. He bought me a pair of dungarees. But they weren't ordinary dungarees. They were like a cross between dungarees and jogging bottoms, that sort of material, that fleecy kind. So they were like fleecy jogging bottom dungarees. I meant to wear them today, but I forgot. I'll wear them next week.
Because a dungaree can be too formal, can't
it? Right, exactly.
You don't want people to say, are you going to a business meeting after the pub with your all-in-one romper suit with your massive pocket in the middle?
Needs bringing down a bit. Goal, guys. Told you it was. They're so soft, John, and it is
what
just...
you got in your big pocket? Just a yogurt and a bag of Frazzles. Just off to a meeting afterwards.
Well, at least when I'm eating crisps in bed, I've got something to catch them in. So, you may scoff, but they have a purpose.
Dungaree pyjamas could be a thing, couldn't it? That could be a thing. If you just wear them all day, then
I just never
really
have to take them off. Oh, I could wear them for a week.
Really embrace going back to be a toddler. Just slip your all-in-one romper suit on in the morning.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, I feel I've said enough, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it was there for the taking, that one. I didn't even try, really, did I?
Yeah. How would you feel if he got you like a slang kit? You know, like where you wear a blanket.
I don't mind those. But the fact that he really thought about it, and he knows I love a dungaree, and he knows I love comfy clothes. Because what it is, John, I'm 49 now, and I can't be doing with zips and buckles when I don't need to. Time is running out. As the Germans call it, Torschluss panic, right? It's the panic of a closing gate. I am nearly 50. I have got stuff to get done. I haven't got time to be doing up buttons and zips. Just want to put it on and go. And he knows that, and that's why I love him.
Right, okay. Well, we all know as we get older, those trips to the bathroom become more urgent. So I might suggest that a dungaree is perhaps not the thing for maybe the 50s and onwards. Anyway, this week we've had a nomination from Dave, who wants me to bring down an entire country.
What?
Let's have a listen.
Hi, John. I wanted to bring some smugness to your attention for you to bring down. And this week, I cannot bear the smugness of the entire population of Australia.
Whoa!
Just a week out from the Ashes, they're acting as if they've already won 5-0, going in on the England players in some pretty harsh ways, whether it's an entire front page of one of their papers being dedicated to Ben Stokes' arrival in the country, or a man who has admitted to cheating, David Warner, saying England are only playing for a moral victory, it's doing my head in. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all up for a bit of sledging and mind games. It does make for great viewing. But the general smuggery oozing out of them is unbearable before a ball has even been thrown. Can you please bring them down a peg or two? Cheers, Dave from Sunderland.
Oh, well, it's cricket, so I'm out.
Well, it's Australians, really, isn't it?
Well, he says that, but I think to take the whole population down is a bit rude. Like, not all of them will like cricket or care.
I think most of them do because they're so terrible at all the other sports.
Oh!
I mean, you know, have they ever won a football game?
Yeah, we're brilliant at all of them, aren't we?
Hey, we beat Serbia this week in football.
Did we?
And look at the darts. I don't know what to say. I thought they were going in quite... I'm surprised to hear him say that because I thought they were quite frightened because of Nathan Lyon's injury. So the last thing I thought was the Australians were being a little bit calmer going into this Ashes series. But we do tend not to do very well down there. It will be different this year because Joe Root's going to score... He's never scored 100 in Australia in the Ashes. I think he's going to score one in every test. Mm. That's my prediction this time.
Sorry, I've glazed over. Sorry,
completely
John.
Gone, haven't you? Really, never seen anything like it.
I was thinking about my dinner. I'm not going to lie. I was thinking, I need to go and get some dinner before I go to my show tonight. Where am I going to do it? That's what I was thinking.
Well, I've given up on you. I'm broadcasting over your head now.
I see. Right, fine.
I fully accept that you're not here.
I'm going back to my dinner plans.
I think the reason we've struggled in the Ashes is because England players, I mean, they leave now. They're not going to come back till March. They're out there now for like... They're going to be out there for Christmas with their families. That much time in Australia just grinds them down. Just the country itself just makes them depressed.
Yeah,
and that's
awful
all you need to say.
Spending Christmas in the sunshine. How awful. The poor things having to miss a British winter. Oh, I feel for them. I do.
Well, that's it. They've got the sunshine and it's still not enough to make them happy to be there. They've got the weather. Of course they have. And the cricketers still fundamentally think, I wish I was getting drizzled on in Leamington Spa. That's why they can't motivate themselves for the Ashes. So, I mean, what more could... Everyone I know who emigrate, I love watching those programmes where they emigrate to Australia because there's always a bit where, like, well, you know, she's a nurse and he's a teacher and they could make this much more in the salary. And then there's a bit where Nana cries and goes, I just don't know what I'm going to do if you live in Australia. And then they go, yeah, we're probably going to go anyway. So that's the kind of people you're getting over there. That is exactly what the cricketers are having to deal with. I'll only see you once a year. Yeah, but we get 10% extra salary, so toodles. If you loved us, you'd do the flight. You could do it direct now. So anyway, that's all I have to say. You might win the Ashes, but you only do it by grinding people down by your very existence, your personality and the country you live in.
What a good job they are all asleep right now.
I think we might have some podcast listeners in Australia and I look forward to hearing from you. It's producer Will at absoluteradio.co.uk. So... big developments now. Last week, of course, you will know that during the Literal Police, we had a case which was ongoing. It was a nomination for Daisy May Cooper from one of our listeners, Matty. Alleged incorrect use of the word literally. That's what it's all about. If you missed it last week, here's what she said.
Would Daisy and Charlie ever do another show like This Country? I adore them both. The show makes my day.
Yeah, I mean, just pay us and we'll do anything. Literally.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Pay us and we'll do anything, literally. And she didn't specify a figure, did she?
She didn't specify a figure. She didn't say what it was. So we said, hey, let's be fair about this. Yeah. Let's put this to the test. We put out an offer. Do you want to come on the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio? We'll give you 50p.
And that is payment.
We sent that to her agent. And I can reveal that now on the line...
Is she on?
Is nobody.
Oh.
Because her agent got back in touch to say, hi, nice idea. Unfortunately, Daisy's already booked up. Sorry.
There you go. There's your answer. Slam dunk, lock her up, throw away the key.
Won't do anything for money. So there you go. I always feel especially bad about the sentence pause literally. When people throw it in, I know they use it a lot when they say, well, it's just literally... But when there's a sentence and I think, oh, you're nearly there, and then they pause, I think, you nearly got away with that. If she just said, we'll do anything for money, she'd be walking free now.
Yeah, why? Why was that literally there? Why?
A literal...
But it means it's been considered, though, John, I think, if you had it.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was a pause. It was a pause, and she thought, that doesn't sound enough. Mm. I need to put a little bit more spice on that. Now, a good interviewer would have been straight off the back of that sentence with the next question. Mm. Don't let anything breathe now. Let's not let people think. Let's not have time for a conversation to evolve. Let's just fire questions at each other. Let's have stock responses from all people in the media.
All right, Paxman.
Like a Match of the Day interview straight after the game. Ask them how they feel. I imagine if they've lost, they'll be a bit sad. And I imagine if they've won, they'll feel all right. right, I imagine if you ask a manager if he's going to get sacked, he's probably going to say, that's not up to me. But let's do it anyway, really quickly. Let's all crack on with our lives. Anyway, Daisy May Cooper, sadly in prison. Special Constable Angela Barnes, what are we calling you?
I'm here every week almost. But
yeah,
you
need something bigger than that.
Yeah.
What am I?
You're like Chief Inspector.
Chief Wiggum.
You're Chief Wiggum.
Yeah.
And what's like between Chief Inspector and Sergeant? There's something between that, surely.
Chief Inspector Sergeant.
Chief Inspector Sergeant.
Chief Inspector Sergeant Barnes. Now, we've had a message this week from one of our...
Superintendent, that's the word I was thinking of. Sorry, it just came to me.
There we go. That saves you shouting it out in the middle of the night. Terrifying your husband. Superintendent! All right. Yeah. So we've had a nomination this week from one of our special officers. She's been in touch before. It's Pauline, and let's hear who she's nominating this week.
Hi, John. I have a literal offence to report. After last week's debate around Daisy May Cooper and her offence, I decided to do a bit more digging into other family members. I've spotted that her brother, Charlie, is also an offender. While they were chatting with Romesh Ranganathan on his YouTube channel, Charlie claimed some bloke was literally levitating at the cheese rolling festival. I'd like to see that. I think they both need locking up. Thanks. From Senior Officer Pauline.
So now what I like about this, and this may be what the police and people in our positions of power shouldn't be doing. But right. This is... Pauline hasn't just heard this. She's gone looking for it.
Yeah, looking for crime.
This is an investigation. She's out on the streets. She's covering the yard. She's stalking people.
She's a Bobby on the beat.
She's decided... And this is the thing with the literal. It's such a big thing. You could probably pick anyone and go back far enough and you'll find something.
I mean, I, you know, feel an affinity with Pauline here because I've been known to do a search through my WhatsApps looking for literal offences. So
you have. We all enjoyed it and we're pleased that Charlie is back out.
I think if you're going to commit to something, you've got to commit 100%.
And it's actually, is it a charitable act having just locked up Daisy May Cooper to give her a brother for good company?
Most brother and sisters I know, I mean, I love my brother dearly. But we don't want to be locked up together for any length of time.
You don't want to do a 10 stretch together. Well, maybe Charlie will go free. Let's find out. Let's hear what he said.
We grew up in Gloucestershire and there's so much of it around us growing up, like cheese rolling.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there?
I'm aware of it because obviously there's that clip that went viral of that guy that really took a real bad tumble.
It was, he literally was like levitating, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, you should do it.
Well, here's the thing, John. This is complicated, this case. Because obviously he wasn't literally levitating.
Yes.
Now, what Charlie Cooper actually says there is he was literally like levitating. Well, this could be a whole other offence, the use of the word like, but that's put that to one side.
If you take the literal
meaning of the word like, he says he was like levitating. Well, maybe he was literally like levitating. But not actually levitating.
Can I have another listen, Will? Because I think that's a good defence.
He literally was like levitating, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It's a good spot. That would be the end of the episode. That would be like, if this was a courtroom drama.
Oh, yeah.
Go, hang on. You're listening late at night. You're like just exhausted. The end of the case, the rain's beating down and you hear it and you go, oh, my God, he says like. Get my attorney.
Yeah.
I think the like makes it a simile, and I think that means he's fine because he is like levitating.
You know, and this is it, John. I might be harsh, but I am fair.
Yeah, it was wonderful attention to detail, and Charlie Cooper goes free. His sister will have to do her time alone. Now, we've had another officer get in touch about a very popular TV show. Here's what Siobhan has spotted.
Hi, John. I have a literal offence to report from the world of social media. Whilst minding my own business, scrolling through Facebook, I came across a post from Strictly Come Dancing. In it, they claimed that dancer Alex Kingston was literally the dancing emoji. Is she Strictly Come Dancing socials team? Literally? No, she isn't. I have attached the evidence to my report. Please take a look and let me know your final decision. Many thanks, Officer Siobhan.
Slam dunk for me, that one, mate.
So we've got the post up in front of us. It says, Alex is literally the dancing emoji. How many people do we put away here? The whole BBC Strictly Come Dancing team?
The whole social media team, maybe. Just the social media team. Because you can't... Like, Claudia and Tess didn't have anything to do with that.
No, they're on their way out anyway. They're getting ahead of... I think they know they've got a literal offence coming, and I think they're getting ahead of it.
Do you think that's what's happening?
That's my assessment. I think they've been sat backstage and Tess, God, I did an interview this week. I said it was literally the biggest show in the history of television.
Oh, Claudia was like, we've got to walk.
Yeah. We've got to walk. Maybe Rico and Barnsley will host Strictly, and then we can at least get it cleared up once and for all.
Someone start a petition. I'm game, are you?
I'd bring it down a bit. Bring a bit of the smugness energy to it.
Too right.
Yeah. Let's remember, it is just dancing after all. So let's all calm down, and we'll see you next week. Anyway, it's the Strictly Come Dancing media team in jail.
Lovely.
And happy to do so. So if you spot a literal offence, reach out on the Literal Police hotline. It's John at absoluteradio.co.uk.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Absolute Radio. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes, Will and Charlie in the studio. And it's time to discuss some news that wasn't in the news that could, would or perhaps should have been in the news. It might have raised a smile. Angela, what have you seen?
Well, John, this one is very close to my heart because, as you know, I'm a seaside girl. I live by the seaside, have done for many years.
Summer months. Shops, of course, in the winter, doesn't it? When I'm not in a tunnel or a bunker.
And I must admit, bunkers, seagulls are not a problem. However...
No.
At the seaside, they are, John. They are a menace. Now, I like birds, you know, on the whole. Yep. And so I don't want anything bad necessarily to happen to seagulls.
This is lovely stuff. She's already gone for the Strictly job. Now she's going for Autumn Watch. I like birds and I don't want anything bad to happen to them.
Move over, Kate Humble. I'm ready. They're known for nicking your food, right? I've been mugged by more seagulls than I had one drop a bread roll on my head once on my way to work. I have seen a seagull in Brighton take a man's wallet from his hand.
Oh, do you know that's so funny? Because I was in Cornwall and I sat on a bench to eat some chips, and there was a couple of old people sat on a bench near me who clearly sat there all day every day just to watch people get attacked by seagulls. I eventually moved away, he went, "I seen one take a man's iPhone right out of his hand."
Honestly, when you live at the seaside, the things you see them get up to. But they're just trying to survive, John. That's all they're trying to do. So you can't feel too bad for them. But there is this new research from the University of Exeter. Mm-hmm. And what they've found is that if you've got chips, right, and you're on the beach and a seagull is coming for your chips, if you just speak to them nicely, they're going to take your chips.
They're not reasonable people.
If you shout at them... They fly away, apparently, right? Now, the study showed that the male voice speaking the words, "No, stay away, that's my food."
What about a baby's voice?
A baby? Well, no, John.
If only we could hear what that sounds
like. Go on, try it.
Get off my chaps!
The way I came across this story was there was a BBC correspondent from BBC Lincolnshire, and I don't have his... I couldn't find his name. I wish I did. But obviously, as a little piece for probably their 6 o'clock news broadcast, they've got him with some chips and some seagulls, right, to test the theory. So what he does, he tries, because in the study, they try speaking nicely to the seagulls, and then they try shouting at them, and shouting at them makes them go away. And I believe Will has clipped up this so you can hear what it sounds like when he puts the experiment into practice.
Would you mind, please don't eat my chips. Get off my chips!
I must have watched that 17 times last night. It's on Instagram. It's the way he just from nowhere, get off my chips, and they all fly away. I will be employing that technique on the streets of Hastings from now on. And I tell you what, it shows for me, John, is that seagulls are not as tenacious when it comes to chips as I am. Because you'd have to do more than shout, get off my chips at me.
And on the video, do they fly away?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do. It works.
I mean, there's just a... That to me is like saying, if you ask them politely, they don't. But if you get out an Uzi and fire off a few shots, there's a reason we don't scream in the streets. You still have your chips, but you're going to get a reputation. He really goes for it, doesn't he?
He really does. He goes from, you know, his calm newsreader voice, or, you know, BBC correspondent voice, just to, get off my chips. I think there was a lot in that. I wonder if we could get him on the show, because I feel like there was pent-up aggression that came out in that. And those seagulls.
You want to get him on so we can ask what's wrong with his life?
Just say, is everything okay, mate? Do you want to talk?
There seems to be a lot going on there. Absolute Radio is a safe space. So is everything okay? Are you okay? All right. Well, there's a guy screaming at seagulls. So here's a story that, you know, the whole point of these stories is supposed to just cheer you up a little bit and make you feel better. What are BBC reporters doing? They're out screaming at seagulls.
Beautiful.
Just a little bit of fun, isn't
it? Get off my chips!
Get off my chips!
I can see his arms straighten. I can imagine he goes from, like, just to fully, like, almost leaning forward like a skydiver. officials are encouraging learners not to book a practical test until they are confident they will pass, after a learner driver finally passed their theory test on the 75th attempt.
Absolutely not.
Having spent over £1,700 in fees.
I think the theory test was actually, it's not that difficult. All right, you might let nerves get the better of you or whatever a couple of times. But if it takes you 75 attempts to pass that test, I'm not sure you should be behind the wheel of a car. Does that mean?
What we've discussed in the past. I think three goes at your driving test and then that's it. If you fail the third time, you're just not allowed to drive, I'm afraid. I don't know how many times I tried out for the gymnastics team before I just thought, these guys don't want me here. I'm not good at this.
You can't just keep Team GB. They're like, you're 40 now, John. You can't keep trying out, weren't
you? You can't keep going out. And also, like, once you've spent... So it's £23 a go, this test. I mean, they've worked out the candidate who passed shelled out £1,725 on tests. I don't know how many cabs that is. But you could probably just get taxed anywhere you would have driven. You can get public transport or a taxi for quite a while on £1,700.
Yeah.
Another learner, this they think is the record, another learner who attempted the test an astonishing 128 times without success racked up a bill of £2,944.
I can't understand how, just statistically, like, because it's all sort of multiple choice and stuff, isn't it? What I remember of the theory test. So how statistically, you can't just, like, you could get a monkey just thumping the keyboard and they'd pass it before 128th time, wouldn't they?
I don't like the drunk chimp thing because I think Will genuinely finds it offensive, but the way your little face pricked up when Angela said you could get a monkey to do it
Not once this week have I mentioned the drunk chimp thing, yet we've had two mentions of chimps and both times Will's gone, oh, they're talking about me.
Hang on. Can you do a Spanish accent, Will, and send me some videos of you having your lunch? Flame-grilled Whopper. I just think there needs to be an intervention. If you know and love somebody who's spending £3,000 not passing their theory test, just step in and say, look, you could have bought a car by now and hired a driver to just drive you around in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's ridiculous. And Charlie, you were saying that if you fail your test 10 times, the 11th is free.
The practical test.
That's what I got told.
I don't think you should be aiming for a loyalty card from the GVLA. Something you should be after.
Did you get told that after your 9th attempt? Well, the good news is...
I actually passed on my 2nd time after I failed because I saluted the magpie.
Oh, so, I know. Of course, John, first time us, wasn't it?
First time. Two minus, Will, one for excessive caution, which doesn't count.
Two minus for me,
And if you want to find out what saluting the magpie is, I suggest you Google it, and that's why she failed her test quite rightly. If you want to get in touch about any stories you've seen for next week, it's john@absoluteradio.co.uk. I feel like, because across the station, real music does really matter.
It does matter.
And I'm not being remotely cynical when I say that, and I'm not saying this as a result of an email from HR. However, I feel like we don't necessarily pull our weight in terms of making it clear that real music matters. So we're going to put aside an entire link to prove how much music matters to us. Last week we had a real music quiz. We've got presenters from the weekend schedule across Absolute Radio to ask us questions, and we start with the wonderful Claire Sturgis.
Hey there, John Sturge here. I'm back with a classic rock party from 7 tonight. Got some huge rock tunes lined up. But my question for you and Angela is, can you tell me which rock song these lyrics are from? They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Okay, what rock song do those lyrics feature in? I'll see you at 7.
I don't listen to songs with bad grammar. Sorry. I'm out. Oh. Where are you... around, they were asking if you. Oh God, it feels so familiar, but no, me neither. Can you give us?
It's when you hear it, when you hear it spoken so beautifully like that. It seems a shame that it's ever going to be anything other than Claire just saying they were asking where you've been.
You don't get points for creeping to the presenters, John. That's not.
No, you don't. Not on air, but you do in the building. I it's not going to come to me. I'm going to go for Since You've Been Gone.
I'll go. Oh, just pull one out of the air. Bon Jovi, Living on a. It's not Living on a Prayer. There's no way. But
the answer is Thin Lizzy. The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town. I knew that.
That is very frustrating.
I love that song.
That's very frustrating. Well, you don't.
No, clearly not.
You don't. Oh. Right. That's an epic fail.
Really is. I'm ashamed
of myself.
We're going
to have to redo the catchphrase for our show now, where real music matters to other people. So we're going to have to start saying. Right, next up, a question from Danielle Perry.
Hi, John. Danielle Perry here. Now, I've got the Sunday Night Music Club coming up tomorrow from 8. On the show, I've got Alex James to chat about his new project, Britpop Classical, which will be his massive new project he's doing, which will be great. But going back to his time in Blur... can you give me the name of the album they released which features the tracks Country House, Charmless
Great
Man
Escape.
And The Universal? Hope you can catch me tomorrow from 8 p.m.
I'm not going to get a Blur question wrong, mate. That is The Great Escape.
Well, it's obviously The Great Escape, isn't it? But
what happens now?
Do I get a point if I say I agree?
No, I just got there. You got to get there
first.
So
it's on the buzzers, is it?
Yeah.
It's on the buzzers. Right,
yeah.
Well, that's a new rule.
No,
glad we've thrown that in just after you got one, right?
Don't be a bad loser, John. Don't pretend you didn't know the rules because got there before you.
Let me be very clear. I am a bad loser. I'm a bad winner. I'm a bad shopper. I'm a bad driver. I'm an angry little man in any place you find me.
Spiteful little goblin man.
All right, then. Should we have it once and for all? Confirmed by Danielle?
Yeah, let's do it.
The answer is The Great Escape, released on the 11th of September 1995. Their fourth studio record.
Right, finally, a question from Andy Bush ahead of the Indie Disco tonight.
Hey, John, I'm back with the Indie Disco from 5 today on Absolute Radio. Some great indie tunes on the way, including one from James with Sit Down. But what was the highest it reached in the UK singles chart? The closest between you and Angela wins.
I reckon it got to number 2. Was it one of those kept off the top spot by something,
you know, I've
rubbish?
I've written down number 3.
3, okay. So John said 2, I've said 3.
So no, basically, if it didn't get to number 1, I win.
Yeah, that's naughty.
The answer is that it reached number 2. Catch me on Indie Disco from 5 today.
I seem to remember it being kept off the top spot by something, but I can't remember what.
Well, that was the last ever Real Music quiz on the John
Wilson
Show.
I think what we've learned is
Radio.
Real music matters to me.
I mean, you just shouted the greatest. That's all the difference was. You just shouted it louder. And now all I can hear is Thin Lizzy for the rest of my
It was on the buzzer. We had that discussion.
Whatever.
Stop being a bad loser,
whatever.
John. It does suit you.
Welcome to whatever, Absolute Radio, where just being competitive and angry and taking what is essentially an art form and turning it into a mathematical equation. And if that's important to you, then I think you need to have a good hard look at yourself. So we're nearly at the end of this week's show.
We are.
What happens when we finish? Just to let you guys into a little peek behind the magician's curtain.
I like the voice you did for that, John. Thanks. Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the actual presenting gigs to come in. That was, of course, Thin Lizzy with The Boys Are Back in Town, a song that's been in my head since a failed attempt at a music quiz in 2025. What happens is we finish the show and then we have a little chat off air, don't we? We all leave and we all say, oh, that was good. I thought that bit worked well and that bit didn't work
so
well.
We call it a chat. Will calls it an appraisal.
It's an appraisal is what it is. It's a constant review of our status. And I thought, well, what could be more awkward than having that conversation on air? Mm. So I'd like to tell you some of the things I think you've all done well today and think, and in areas that you can improve on.
On-air feedback. Love it. Okay. Yeah.
I'll start with you, Will, because I really liked it when you got all the presenters asking the questions, because it made me feel part of the Absolute family, even though usually I come in on a Saturday morning and the building's empty and nobody actually knows who I am here. And even the security on the door look at me like every week I've chanced my way in off the street. And that made me feel included. But I didn't like it when you wouldn't do the voice of a Spanish monkey to make me happy. And I wonder why you don't want me to be happy.
Yeah, Will, do the voice of a Spanish monkey for John. If you cared about John, you'd do it.
I'm a Spanish monkey.
Thanks, Will. Well, you've passed your appraisal and you can come back next week. Charlie, I liked it when you called Angela a ghoul earlier, because that was mean and it made me feel better watching it. Because I wasn't targeted by your abuse.
But I didn't... You're not using the full context there, John. She said, happy, silly, ghoul woman. So it was sort of in a positive context.
Well, one of those words is positive. two, if you like, but I wouldn't take silly as a compliment. I didn't like the face you pulled when I was doing my baby voice, because it made me worry that you were going to actually vomit onto your computer there. So perhaps you could work on that. And Angela, I just think you've had a nightmare, really.
Okay,
I think,
it's
really not good enough.
It's fair.
I didn't.
I'm bracing. Come on, I can take criticism. It's fine.
I didn't like it when you mentioned dungarees, because you know I don't like them. I didn't like it when you suggested a feature around naming our favourite Britpop tracks when we've been doing it all summer on Absolute Radio. And I really hated it when you took the music quiz so seriously, when it's just supposed to be a bit of fun.
That was definitely me who did that,
Really, I think you should just have a think, really.
Right. Are you saying that my future here depends?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have the authority to make those decisions. So if I were in charge, you would be getting a strongly worded email. And the listener, as well, has played a blinder. I think Ryan's I Love You Bot today was a highlight for me.
Oh, yeah.
Some real vitriol about his partner eating crisps in bed. And that was an absolute highlight. So there we go. That's it for another week on The John Richardson Show. Thank you to you, Will. Thank you to you, Charlie. Thank you to you, Angela.
Oh, I thought I wasn't going to get one then. He looked at me as if to say, you're not getting a thank you.
It's been antsy today, isn't it, John?
It was absolutely.
Do you know, up until a certain point, and we know we'll have to listen back to the show to find out where it was when the mood shifted. But
if only we could pinpoint
it. Up until a certain point, it was absolutely fine. On that topic, would you like to put forward a name for this week's podcast, if listeners would like to go back and listen via the Rare app or wherever they get their podcasts?
Well, I think I've got a name that combines two features, plus is a little callback to something that might upset Will. My candidate for the name of the podcast is Get Off My Crisps.
Oh, I've gone for Get Off My Quiz.
Nice!
So,
what's it
should we go
be?
For Get Off My Crispy Quiz?
Nice, love it. That'll do.
Get off my crispy. Sadly, it's not enough to dislodge Thin Lizzy from my subconscious for the rest of the weekend. But
you're going to be singing that all weekend, aren't you?
The boys are back down.
Yeah,
I think there's something in Claire Sturgis reading the lyrics to rock songs.
Yeah. That could be like, do you know, if she would record that and release it as like a sort of bedtime thing to go to sleep to, wouldn't that be lovely?
Claire Sturgis recites your favourite grime tracks to put you to sleep.
Do you know, that could make her rich, that.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
So
tune in next week to
see if Claire agrees. And if you don't hear a clip of Claire Sturgis reading some horrific rock lyrics next week, then it didn't happen and we'll never talk about it again. But I suspect there'll be another quiz. It's Sarah Champion up next, and it's the triumphant return of Matt Ford with Chris Skull to Rock and Roll Football this afternoon. Thank you for your company. Have a wonderful week. Get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll be back next week with more. Bye.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
So there we go, that's it for this week. If there's a story that you think we should cover, if you're smug about something or you know somebody who is, if you want a dedication for somebody that you want to be mean about, the way to get in touch on all those things is john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Angela, do we find you out and about this week?
You do find me out and about this. Oh, actually, no, you don't. What day is it? Saturday? No. Well, there's three more dates left on this leg of my tour in early December. So tickets available on my website. And they're in Bedford, Chelmsford and Coventry. And join my mailing list if you want to find out the dates that I'm on tour in 2026, which go on sale soon. That was a long-winded way of saying yes, wasn't it?
Yeah, I only asked if you were going out this week. You could have just said, yeah, I've got a big shop, Joe. But never mind.
My agent, you know, is, you know what they're like.
Oh, they're monsters.
Oh, get on it.
Absolute monsters. So they don't check their email regularly enough, I'll tell you that. It is Absolute Radio Live tomorrow at of recording, or depending on when you're listening to this podcast, a few days. Should I do? It was Absolute Radio Live tonight. It's Absolute Radio Live yesterday. Anyway, it happened this week, and we'll probably tell you about it during next week's show. So if you want to listen live, we're on Absolute Radio at 8 a.m. If you want to get in touch with us, it's john@absoluteradio.co.uk. And if this is the last time you ever listen, because I've finally wound you up too much, then thank you for your company so far, and good luck with all the other podcasts that you want to listen to in future. Bye.
Bye.